Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
I'm joined by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, tell me this. What's harder, winning a Cy Young or an Emmy Award?
Oh, man. Winning a Cy Young. It takes a lot longer to happen. You know, it's funny when you mention something like that. I just go back to all those years of being predicted to win and just feeling like a failure. But in 96, fortunately, I was able to at least get that off my back because that was starting to bother me.
Download the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, hey, dead center of the work week. Still a lot of shenanigans to come here on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why are we going to hear from Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes? Well, just because. What show could be better? You want Showtime? Well, Patrick Mahomes is all about it. Shohei Ohtani, the star of the show in Seattle. Did you hear him say that he spent the last two off seasons in Seattle? That'll put a charge in the Mariners fan base. And he also called Mookie Betts his favorite all-star, or the guy that impressed him the most. So now Dodgers fans are salivating over the idea that he could choose the Dodgers as his next destination.
He referenced something about Jose Ramirez. I saw Cleveland fans freaking out a little bit.
I wonder how calculated his comments. Or is he just speaking off the cuff with no premeditated meaning to them? No premeditated furor behind them. Maybe he's just toying with all of us. That could be the case.
He easily could.
It's times like these that I wish I had a team that I rooted for, because then I would be all about them wanting to recruit Shohei Ohtani.
I gotta say it's stressful, though.
Yeah. It's one of the casualties of working in this business for as long as I have, is there are sports where I used to cheer for a particular team, and I just don't anymore because it's not the same. It's not as much fun to root when you have to cover the sport as much as you do. And you just watch it and think about it, process it differently. But there are certainly individuals, there are certainly athletes that I root for, stories that I love. I can find those everywhere I look. And that includes a 32-year-old first-time All-Star who wins the MVP. Love it. Elias Diaz, first Venezuelan to win the All-Star Game MVP. And how neat is it that his mama was able to be there in Seattle to cheer him on?
Incredibly special for me, you know, to have her here. A lot of emotions with everything that we've been through, all the sacrifices that she made for me. It was really special to have her here for me.
That's neat. So congratulations to him. 32 years old, his translator, by the way. He had the eighth inning two-run home run that put the National League ahead and ultimately got them their first victory since 2012. It's the first time in a decade. We are asking you a couple of things. Still have a half hour left to vote in our Shohei Willie Stay or Willie Go poll. If you're the Angels, do you trade him by the deadline? So it's 30 minutes left in that poll. That's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Same thing with our question for tonight. And I stumbled on this one, honestly. I wasn't planning on asking a question about Shohei Ohtani on this show. But when I heard Ken Rosenthal on the Fox broadcast say Shohei is arguably the best player of all time, I nearly fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe he said that. And this is not a knock on Ken. I'm a huge fan of Ken. I've worked with him personally. And I believe that Shohei is appointment TV. I want to go see him in person. It's not a knock on him either. He's tall. He's big. He's talented. He's humble. I really enjoy seeing him smile and laugh and cut up with the other players, because so much of what he does, he's got to really be focused on his workouts, as he told Ken on the Fox broadcast when he was done with his couple at bats. The workload that's on his plate forces him to be extremely efficient, and he sleeps a lot to be able to stay successful at both hitting and pitching. But arguably the greatest player of all time seemed a little much at this point. What would make him one of the greats would be the fact that he is unique, that he does both things really well. So if you consider the sample size of how long he's managed both, it's 2.5 years, essentially 2.5 years. He did not pitch in 2019. He was limited in both 18 and 20. And those moves were obviously the right ones, because here he is in the last 2.5 years crushing it. An MVP, runner-up for another MVP, only to Aaron Judge, and now is the front runner. I understand the circus around him. I really do. Especially because of what we saw in the World Baseball Classic when he was with Team Japan. The fans that he attracts to the ballparks and to TVs. Yeah, he's a magnet. All of that is accurate. But in a sport that values numbers and history, it seems a little early to say he's arguably the greatest player of all time. If he never played again, right now, I don't even believe he'd be a Hall of Famer. Now, maybe they put him into the Hall of Fame because no one's ever done what he's done in these 2.5 years. Not since Babe Ruth, which is a completely different animal. So maybe it's because his place in history is one of being a unicorn, but I don't even know if he'd make it into the Hall of Fame right now. He's on that track. And I'm not saying he has to do it forever. We're not asking for 20 years. But maybe 10? To say you're the greatest player of all time? Definitely generational. Definitely once in an era. Maybe once every 150 years. Well, once every 100 years, we'll go with that. Once a century player. But of all time? The more I say it, the more ludicrous it sounds. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We had the whole debate on the last show about trading him or keeping him. What kept coming out of Seattle is that there are a lot of people who think it's a foregone conclusion he'll leave the Angels when this season is done. I didn't even hear one person with a microphone or a platform say or report or even guess that he would stay in Anaheim. Not one did I hear. Maybe you did, but I did not. If that's the case, Arty Moreno has to make a move. He has to. If he knows what a lot of other people are claiming that they know, then he better get something in return. You can't be in denial. You can't hide your head in the sand. You can't be an ostrich. If it really is true that he has no intention of re-signing in Anaheim, oh, that changes everything. But I don't know where that's come from, right? Because I haven't heard any sources cited. I haven't heard anyone report, hey, specifically, My sources tell me that's not what I've heard. I've just heard people say. It's fairly obvious he's not re-signing in Anaheim, so I don't know what that means. I would tell you if I'd heard it somewhere that actually was a source or there was a credit or some piece of intel we could point to, but that's not the case, at least on my end. But it's seemingly what people are speculating. Producer Jay, have you heard anyone report specifically that he will not be re-signing?
No, I haven't heard that. Like, in paper official report, I have not seen that.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Yeah, just speculation.
Right. If that is the case, though, and Shohei's camp would confirm it or someone would confirm it or report it, well, then, yeah, you're running a major risk if you are the Angels. But for tonight's purposes, we're talking about whether or not you'd put him in the top 10 of baseball players all time. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Still no movement on the Damian Lillard front. And Chauncey Billups, he's the latest to weigh in on Dame's trade request. On SiriusXM NBA Radio, still at Summer League in Las Vegas, the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, will Dame be on your roster next season?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know the answer to that, nor does anybody else right now, so we'll see.
I feel more confident in saying that Damian Lillard's not going to be a part of the Blazers than I do in saying that Shohei Ohtani's not going to be part of the Angels. Chauncey has actually spoken to Damian Lillard. He says they're tight, but he won't reveal anything that Dame said. He did admit they have talked about the trade situation, Dame's request for a trade, what happens next, but he's not giving any of that up. Essentially, we're on a need-to-know basis, and Chauncey doesn't think we need to know. But he does recall, as a player, being on pins and needles when he was in Denver because Carmelo Anthony wanted out, and the Nuggets were trying to figure out a destination for Carmelo where they wouldn't give up everything and get nothing in return.
It was very difficult being a part of that, of the uncertainty, of if Melo was going to get traded, if he's going to be with us. We just didn't know, and as a locker room, me as the leader of the team, I just tried to keep everybody focused on what we were trying to do, because whatever was going to happen was going to happen, but for us, we had to still play the games, so we had good leadership on that team, that was able to kind of keep us locked in, but it's difficult. It's a big distraction, it just kind of happens. It is what it is until whatever happens.
As I listen to Chauncey, you know what I think? Oh, yeah, the Angels are in the same exact spot, and they're actually in season. So he's talking about the Trailblazers through the lens of what he went through in Denver when he was still active in the NBA. And Carmelo Anthony, and I'm sure many of you remember that whole business. It was talked about ad nauseum for months where Carmelo was going to get traded. Where's Carmelo going? Ultimately, the Knicks is where he ended up. But my goodness, it was talked about and speculated for months. At the time, he was one of the best players in the NBA. So yeah, now the Blazers are in the middle of it, as are the Angels, and they're actually in season. At least the Blazers players, while there have been a few of them in Summer League, and the young guys who are participating in the games, but at least they're not in season having to talk about trading Dame, because it would be a royal pain in the rear end to have to go through that every day. But that's what the Angels are going through right now. You don't think Mike Trout, when he's available to the media, answers questions ad nauseum about Shohei Ohtani? No doubt Phil Nevin is feeling questions all the time, fielding them weekly at the very least, if not daily. What did our Angels insider for, was it, who was he writing for? Orange County? No, SoCal News Group. Thank you. Jeff Fletcher said that it comes up daily with reporters. So if that's the case, well, the players, the manager, they're hearing it all the time. Oy, I do not envy them in the least. Let's talk to Tim, who's in Portland. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy, how are you? It is such an honor to talk to you. I wanted to tell you and producer Jay something. I am in Portland, Oregon right now, and it is a nightly thing with my coworkers and I to listen to you. It's a huge honor.
Thank you.
But unfortunately, I have to disagree with you for the first time in my life.
That's not unfortunate. I welcome disagreement. Bring it on. Let's go.
Unfortunate because it's the first time we get to talk. But I would say, I'm going to take it a little bit further than Ken. I would say it's inarguable. He is the best player of all time.
Why?
And why? Because we've, or at least I'll parse it a little bit. What he's doing right now is unequaled. It's the best thing we've ever seen in baseball. So I almost feel like there's two different ways to come at this, which is kind of look at it like Bo Jackson's career or look at it like a regular historical career. But I feel like what he's doing right now is just head and shoulders above anything we've seen.
Yes, right now, in the moment, I would agree with you. But how can you take what we've seen, a relatively small sample size over 2.5 years, and say that he's already the greatest player of all time?
Well, let me ask you this. Who would your number two be? Just out of curiosity. A handful of people, maybe. Oh, am I off the air already?
No. I'm thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
I had started to think about it and had started to scribble down a few names, but I hesitate to say them because I just haven't decided where I would put them. So what you're asking for is a handful of names. Is that what you're saying?
Or, I mean, the first couple of things that come to your name, Willie Mays.
Well, of course, right.
Somebody
I would say Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols is one of the greatest players of all time.
Fabulous player.
Yeah, I would put him in there as well. I mean, I know people will argue with this, but I would certainly say Barry Bonds. I know people hate him. He was a product of the era that he was in. So I would say him.
Player.
Right. I didn't see Babe Ruth play or Hank Aaron play, but I'm not sure how you can leave those two out.
Okay. Can I interject something right here?
Of course.
I am a huge appreciator of every accomplishment that's ever been achieved in baseball. But when we mention Ruth as compared to Shohei, that's when you go down the road of competition and who they played against. And whereas you cannot hold it against Babe Ruth directly that he didn't play against the best of the best, but he didn't play against the best of the best. And Shohei is not only playing against the best of the best, but he's playing against the best in the world.
Agreed. I agree with you. And certainly the competition is much tougher now, and there's so much more talent that's dispersed around the league. However, it's still only been 2.5 years. And Tim, I am confident that if he stopped playing baseball now, he wouldn't necessarily make it into the Hall of Fame. He's not a lock.
God, you know, I I respectfully and underscore respectfully disagree.
It's fine.
I will never call and disagree with you again.
No, stop but, it. Stop it.
I think when Bo Jackson was having his success in the moment, it's tough to actually gauge historically how it's going to pan out.
Sure.
It's just my instinct that if he retired tomorrow, in a few years, we'd still want to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
That's just me. But I also wanted to point out, I love your restraint on the subject and how you are gatekeeping. I think it's fantastic.
All right. Can I also interest you in potentially Nolan Ryan as one of the greatest of all time?
absolutely not. He's not even one of the best pitchers of all time. He's okay. One of my favorite players of all time. But he's not one of the best starting pitchers of all time.
All right. Well, I feel as though the novelty slash the novelty and the excitement around him is because he's doing both, correct? If he was only doing one or the other, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. And so,
right.
So that's what I mean. I just need to see a little more of it before I say definitively or inarguably, I like how you turn that around, that he is the greatest of all time. Because, yeah, and I'm not negating anything that he's done. But it's been 2.5 years in which he has succeeded to this point at both. So, Tim, if you take the pitching away, he's not even the best hitter in the game. And he's great. I'm not saying he isn't. But if you took away the pitching and or the hitting, he wouldn't be the best in baseball at either of those things, correct?
I'm not sure. He might be the best at both.
Meaning because he would only focus on one?
No. Yeah. Well, he could. I mean, I wouldn't, I'm not sure I would agree with it, but okay. I could listen to somebody make a point for him being the best hitter in baseball, sure.
All right. Well, right now he is leading the league in home runs, and he's hitting 300. So this year has been very successful for him at the plate. He did have the MVP season where he hit the 46 homers and the 100 RBI, but right now he's not a career 300 hitter. Not that that's a necessity. I'm just saying I think that you could look around baseball and find better hitters across the board as well as better pitchers because they're only focused on one thing. So again, the fact that he's doing both is what makes him so incredibly unique. And as you point out, a once in a century, once in a generation player, we may never see it again in our lifetimes. All of that is true. It's just the idea that it's a very small sample size.
It really is. I think that's pretty much if you were skeptical about him and his place in history, that would be the hang up, the sample size. Mm-hmm. But listen, Amy, I am so. Again, I'm going to say honored to be talking to you. I'm going to get off the phone because I can only make an idiot out of myself from here.
No, stop.
But thank you, Amy. Appreciate you. And I will listen to you for the rest of time.
Oh, I appreciate that, Tim. You absolutely made my night. And it's okay to disagree with me. World would be boring if we all agreed all the time.
Thank you, Amy. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye, Tim. I feel like we need to re-rack that and just bring that back. The fact that Tim is going to listen for the rest of time, until the end of time.
He said it.
Who gives up first, me or Tim?
He's here to the end of time.
Who bites the dust first, me or Tim? Because if he's going to listen to the end of time, does that mean I need to keep doing this job until the end of time?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Whew, that's a long time. Can I get more vacation? If I continue to do this to the end of time, can I have Boomer Esiason vacation? I'm pretty sure Boomer gets 8 weeks off every year plus holidays. Could I have Boomer like vacation
until the end of time? Yeah.
If I'm going to work to the end of time, could you imagine I'd have to be doing this job with no teeth or something in a wheelchair? That's all right. As long as the pipes work, who cares about anything else?
Yeah, cross that bridge when we get there.
Oh, we will. Can we move the show to Montana, at least?
Am I here till the end of time now, too?
I mean, if I am, you are required to be, yes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Kyrie, the rebound of the lane. Up the left side as Josh Green took a shot. Kyrie pulls up for three and he hits. Kyrie wasting no time getting rid of it. What a fourth quarter he has. 16 of his 28 in the fourth.
I think it's a great fit. Obviously people are going to say no. I mean, look at the results we're having. But, you know, like I said, chemistry, relationships takes time. And I wish he can still be here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Luka Doncic, with his validation of Kyrie Irving, even though the Dallas Mavericks actually regressed once Kyrie joined the roster. Hey, you can quibble with a lot of things. You cannot quibble with that. Numbers don't lie, baby. You are what your record says you are, and the Mavericks did not make the play-in tournament, much less the main postseason bracket, after Kyrie Irving landed in town?
Every time I play with other great players, we've become better.
Okay, maybe it's more of a long-term goal than a short-term reality. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I was slightly surprised, but not blown away, that Kyrie Irving re-signed in Dallas for a couple of reasons. Number one, Dallas had already given up so much to get him that had they lost him, that would have been really a double whammy. But also because I'm not sure Kyrie had any other lucrative offers. I could be wrong, but there were no reports that Kyrie had major interest from around the NBA and that there was another team willing to offer him the same amount of money. So he goes back to Dallas. In fact, there were even reports that the teams that were holding meetings with him couldn't afford him, so it was really an exercise in futility. What are they even doing? Why are they bothering? And the speculation was that he was calling in favors with different buddies that played around the league so it could look like he had other traffic. I'm just saying. Mark Cuban, you're the one who signs the checks. Why did the Mavericks re-sign Kyrie Irving?
We traded for him because we wanted to be a long-term piece, you know. And I think Kyrie's just misunderstood, you know. Everybody sees all the noise and everything around him, but when you actually talk to him, I like him, you know. He's open, he's smart, you know, he's always looking to learn things. And to me, you know, he's an interesting guy that's just misunderstood.
In what way exactly? In what way do we misunderstand him? Is that when he goes AWOL for a week at a time without telling anyone where he's going? We're misunderstanding the point? He's doing an Aaron Rodgers darkness retreat. Oh, dang it. Why didn't I realize that?
We just don't get it.
We don't get it. He's misunderstood. That is priceless. I mean, priceless. On SiriusXM NBA Radio. Well, let's try a different approach, Mark Cuban, if you don't mind. How can you be so sure Kyrie won't sour on Dallas the way that he soured on Boston and then on Brooklyn? How come it won't happen to you?
I would watch Kyrie before he came to the Mavs. I didn't pay enough attention to his relationship with other players. And then when he came to us after the trade, it was inevitable. After every game, there were multiple players walking up and hugging him. You know, not just giving him, you know, a high five, but like a real honest to goodness, I like you hug. And when you talk to players around them, they would say the same thing. And when you talk to our players after he got there, say the same thing. We love the guy, you know. And so it wasn't a question of his relationship with players. And then when you get into it more, you know, as he matured, he's had different relationships with different organizations, which is why, you know, J. Kidd and I made the effort to really get to know him.
Huh. He's largely misunderstood. You should see Jay's face. Just let it all out, Producer Jay. As a fan who has been scorned by Kyrie Irving and will soon get some of that, ooh, that's a Boston, I know you. Whatever, he loves to troll Boston fans now.
Boston hates you.
He loves to kick it in the teeth of the Boston fan base. Pretty soon that's going to be Brooklyn. You know it is.
Of course.
So as a member of the Nets fan base, in fact, sporting the hat right now, don't ask me why, what do you hear when Mark Cuban says he's largely misunderstood?
I hear a man who's in for a rude awakening. I'm sorry, Mark Cuban. It's just, this has been the same song and dance every single time. He went to Boston. Oh, it's going to work out here. Everyone loves him. What happened? Went to Brooklyn. No one on the Nets didn't like him. I mean, unless they wouldn't say it. It was always, oh, Kyrie's great. Seth Curry.
Well, James
Kyrie.
Harden didn't really like him.
And he got out of town, right, because he didn't like him. But, you know, Durant, they were friends, always friendly. Seth Curry, Nick Claxton, who was a young guy on the Nets with them, he would always say, I love Kyrie. Playing with Kyrie is amazing. He's a great teammate. He's a great leader. It's never been about the other guys on the team. It's Kyrie himself. It's nothing to do with anybody else. It's always going to be Kyrie's going to do what Kyrie wants to do at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, it's never going to – it's always going to be the wrong thing, or else it's always has been the wrong thing. It's not basketball. And it's always just going to rub people the wrong way.
I mean, he does say that. Basketball is not the most important thing in the world to him.
And he shows it, too. So yeah. His actions speak louder than his words there. I just don't see how Mark Cuban... Everyone thinks it's different this time. It's like a bad relationship. Like, oh, I could fix him. You're not going to fix him. It's just not going to happen.
He...
And it's already gone bad.
He cheated on everybody else. He's not going to cheat on me. That's what we try to tell ourselves sometimes in relationships. He or she, I know they cheated in the past, but it won't happen to me. All right.
That's literally what Mark Cuban is doing right now.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on... No, it's the other way around. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
Uh-huh. All right, well, don't say we didn't warn you, Mark Cuban.
He's seen it with his own two eyes.
I know.
They brought him in and they lost and they dropped out of playoff contention.
On Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page, couple minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
We're getting off the beaten path, although we still are very intrigued by your responses to the question of whether or not Shohei Ohtani is a top 10 player. Ken Rosenthal on the Fox broadcast Tuesday night said he's arguably the best player of all time. I nearly spit out my drink when I heard that. So we'll make it top 10. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Time for Ask Amy Anything. Producer Jay is racked up, ready to go.
Let's do it. So just... a couple breaks ago, you mentioned to me that it's going to be 90 degrees in the Northeast in our area today. So I'm going to start here. David asks, besides finding some place with AC, what's your favorite method of dealing with the heat?
The beach. The beach, baby. Let's go. Yeah, I haven't actually had my first beach day yet. A couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to go, and it just wasn't the right weather. So instead, my friends and I postponed to the 22nd of July. So that is coming up. Yeah, I went to the beach last Saturday evening. Have done a couple of kayaking trips. Really anything to do with the water. When I'm in Houston, Mom has the pool. We'll be in the pool. So just give me some water somewhere. And no, not a sprinkler in a backyard. I need more than that.
So that covers the follow-up from David, who asks, do you ever go swimming in a pool?
Yes, Mom's got one. That's a very, very good question, David. Thank you.
This one comes in from Glenn. He wants to know, do you like campfires and making s'mores? Do you like campfires and making s'mores?
I do. I do love campfires and I do love s'mores. Though don't at me. There are times when I don't have a campfire and I make s'mores in the microwave. I know it's sacrilegious. I'm a New Hampshire girl. How in the world can I make s'mores in a microwave? But they are tasty. The only thing that's missing is a little bit of the toastiness on the marshmallow, but they are really good. Jay, I made you a s'more for the microwave, did I not?
Yes, you did.
And it was delicious.
Hey, when you want a s'more,
you just got to have a s'more.
Just got to make the s'more.
That's
you can
right.
Make it.
You just got to have a s'more.
We'll keep it food here. Michael asks, what's your favorite pasta dish?
Ooh, that's a good question.
A good
oh, man. I love veal parm. I'm not sure if that counts as a pasta dish, but I do love veal parm. I love shrimp scampi. So that's another good one if you put it over pasta. I really do love the De La Soul. So the, you know, the pasta with the seafood and fish are really just kind of it's a bunch of different seafood. It's mixed and it's over a big bed of pasta and usually red sauce. I prefer red sauce. So those are a couple of my faves.
This one's interesting that Gary asks. He wants to know, have you ever drove through a severe weather situation?
Yes, actually, and I covered severe weather when I lived in Oklahoma, so absolutely. In fact, one of the first jobs that I had as the news and sports director at a radio station in a town called Woodward, Oklahoma, I was so new to Oklahoma, I didn't even know what severe weather was all about. But very early in my tenure in Oklahoma, I had to follow along behind a storm reporting about debris. That's what I was doing. The owner of the radio station sent me out in the van that belonged to the station and said, follow along, report on the debris. So I did. I was following in the wake of a storm as best I possibly could. and reporting on the destruction in the path of the storm.
Can I be honest? That's like a dream job of mine.
Well, it is until you realize that lives and homes and businesses are destroyed. Well, I mean, some of the destruction, it blows your mind. I've seen what F5 tornadoes can do in a place like Edmond, Oklahoma. It's not Edmond, sorry. What's the name of it? Something City. My gosh, it's going to drive me crazy. Midwest City, Oklahoma, sorry. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the hope is that you can track it and learn better ways to prepare for it in the future.
Yes, the technology is incredible, and there are people who get warnings in time to be able to take shelter, but it doesn't mean that you can always protect your property. People, yes, are more important, but a lot of times people losing homes and losing everything they have.
Yeah. This next one comes in from Scott. He asks, have you ever had a house guest from hell experience?
Oh, yes. I've had more than one, but one in particular stands out. It was a younger friend of mine who came to visit, and two things. Did not shower more than once over a 6-day span.
Stop.
No, I swear. I could smell it. And she was staying in my spare bedroom, so it was ripe. So that's one thing that made her the house guest from hell. But the other thing is that she slept the majority of the time when we weren't out of the house. So we went to do activities or, you know, whatever else, touring New York, doing a couple sightseeing ventures each day. But the entire rest of the visit, she was sleeping.
Never hanging out to rehash the trip.
No.
Or if you did.
Nope.
Talk about the day.
Not helping me with dishes. Not even that she really ate. I mean, she would come down and she would eat, I suppose. And then she would take snacks up to her room. She would get them on the train or at a restaurant, something like that. Who knows, a convenience store like you. And she would take them up to her room. And so I would have to go in there and remove the old pizza boxes and whatever.
What?
No, I swear. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
She was like a hibernating animal.
Oh, she was. She had the door closed to my spare bedroom 90% of the time that she was actually in the house with snacks and probably bugs, sleeping and not showering. It was...
That is a horrendous combination of things.
Oh, it was horrendous, all right.
But
it was horrendous.
To not even clean up. Like, if you're going to bring the snacks in there, you're going to hibernate, you're not going to shower, at least, like, bring your trash out of the guest room that you're staying in.
And I didn't really give her the chance. I wasn't leaving in there longer than an hour. So, yeah, it was pretty gross.
That is a bad one, but a good one. Well, speaking of New York City and sightseeing, Eileen says, in honor of you soon climbing to the crown of the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, that's coming up this weekend.
She wants to know, what's your favorite New York City tourist attraction?
I suppose you could call it a tourist attraction. It's the Intrepid, the World War II aircraft carrier that's docked on the Hudson River. It also has a space shuttle prototype on the deck, as well as a bunch of planes and helicopters from different eras, including Tomcat from Top Gun. Anyway, it's amazing. You can climb all over the Intrepid. It fought in three different wars, including World War II. Phenomenal stories. And every now and then, they'll have volunteers who are, in fact, World War II veterans, who, of course, are aging but are wearing the hats, right?
Amazing.
And indicate that they're veterans. It's awesome. I love military history. I love aircraft carriers. It's a combination of both, and it's right in New York City on the Hudson River.
Speaking of eras in history, Roger asks, if you could live in any other era in history, what are a couple you might be interested in?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard because I'm really interested in Victorian England, but women had no rights in Victorian England. You had to marry people that you didn't want to marry, that essentially the second you got married, they controlled you as women. Women couldn't vote then. They were still working on the right to vote. So, yeah, that's tough. I would say probably going back to the Roaring Twenties. And women didn't have great rights in the Roaring Twenties either, but the Roaring Twenties seemed like a lot of fun, except they were followed by the Great Depression, so there's that, but yeah.
Jesse asks, do you have any races, like you know, marathon or half marathon?
Actually,
lined up in the
future? I just signed up for one on Tuesday, believe it or not. Did Jesse know this? I signed up for my next half marathon. It comes up in late September, and it's along the New Jersey side of the Hudson River down by the Statue of Liberty. So it's directly across from Lower Manhattan. So as you're running, you're seeing the Freedom Tower and you're seeing all the skyscrapers of the financial district, but you're also running right along the water where the Statue of Liberty is in full view. So it's called, I think it's Liberty Park Half Marathon. So the Liberty Half Marathon, something like that. It comes up in September.
Nice.
I've heard that it's very popular because it's mostly flat.
It's a good view, too.
It is a great view, yes. So I got to get my rear in gear, which means, again, on Wednesday, I'll be running in 90-degree weather.
Let's go.
All right. You lose more weight that way.
This one was weird. Rich asks, have you ever played marbles?
Oh, of course, when you were a kid. Absolutely. And Hungry Hungry Hippo with marbles.
Oh, I used to play that.
Oh, love Hungry Hungry Hippo.
How do you play marbles? Like, you flick them, right?
Oh, yeah. There's games. Yeah, it's a little bit like you have to get the marble closest to whatever, whatever. You know how it is. There's a lot of games you can play with marbles. Did you ever play Jax?
I did. I had my Jax time, yeah.
Jax, something similar.
It's been a long... I forgot all about Jax.
Similar idea.
All right, we'll end here with some rapid fire. Stuffed animals or dolls?
Oh, I love stuffed animals. I'm not a doll fan.
Have a mega yacht or a jumbo jet?
A yacht.
Chips and dip or chips with salsa?
Chips with salsa.
Ooh. Ruffles or Lay's?
Lay's.
Get lost alone or get lost with someone who annoys you?
Oh, no. This happened to me. It was the worst date in the history of the world. I'd rather get lost alone.
Have no electricity or no running water?
Have no electricity.
Be a butterfly or be a bee?
A bee, baby. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Last one here. Travel through time or travel to an alternate universe?
Time. CBS Sports Radio.
Experiences are what people love most about travel. With Viator, you can browse and book tours and activities so incredible you'll want to tell your friends. They offer everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Viator has experiences in over 190 countries. There's something for everyone. Plus, Viator's travel experiences have millions of real traveler reviews, so you have the information you need to book the best activities for your trip. Viator lets you keep things flexible. Use Reserve Now and Pay Later to secure the activities you don't want to miss without being locked in. Whether you want to take a backstage tour of the Grand Ole Opry, a Miami Bimini Bahamas day trip by ferry, or a private guided tour of the Grand Canyon, Viator is for you. Download the Viator app now and use Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.